Okay, so this morning I'm going to start with Psalm 121 and verse 1. And I want to speak today about Jesus is dependable. And Psalm 121 verse 1 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so what I want to speak about and just help us to understand, help me to understand that Jesus is the dependable one. He is the one who's able to help. He is the one who's able to help because he knows you and he loves you. And it is our privilege to make him known everywhere. These three things God dropped in my spirit over the last two or three days as it's been such an honor to stand with Tim and Jolene and Mike and Mo with Leah's passing and then officiating at the memorial service. It's been such a joy for me, and during this time and flying all the way from Australia, I had 43 hours in an airplane and 26 hours in airports. So it was a very, very long trip. So I had lots of time with the Lord. It's only when I got to Johannesburg that Francis joined me to come. And I felt God drop three things into my spirit, and I just want to share that with you. For The Rock, for Mark and Mo, for Tim and Jolene, just these three things. It's God is going to be evident and present in The Rock Church in a more tangible and a more powerful way. And the reason is that I felt God say, because you have proved faithful, loyal, and committed to his son Jesus, where many would have given up in the things you guys have gone through in the last 3 or 4 years. And it's not that it's a deal with God, it's just his favor. You know, we can't do things to get God's favor. He just has mercy on whom he will have mercy, and grace upon whom he will have grace, and compassion on whom he will. I really felt that it's going to be a season of playing with those gold coins that you saw as a picture, Mark. That there's going to be provision, there's going to be supernatural miracles, there's going to be such amazing things that God's going to have for this house. And the second thing is, as you continue to walk in obedience to Jesus, the dependable one, and be led by the Holy Spirit, the prosperity, the goodness, the health, that everything anybody needs in this house will be met by dependable Jesus. And his grace is going to be sufficient for you, both personally and corporately. I believe God's got every single person's number. But yet it's also a corporate thing for this house. And then the third thing I felt God just impress upon my heart is this. No weapon formed against you will prosper. You need to believe that in your heart, that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Therefore, do not be dismayed. Do not be discouraged, because the dependable one is with you and in you and is in your corner. And he's not throwing a white flag. He's not giving up on you, nor this church, nor what he's got for you personally. Jesus is dependable. He's with you. He knows where you're at, no matter what you're facing, good, bad, and ugly. He knows where you're at. We have the privilege, when we come through the journey, to tell others about the goodness of our God. But let's first have a look at this first thing that I want to share with you, is Jesus is the dependable one. Jesus is the ever-present Lord, Savior, King, friend, who will never let us down. There's new seasons in God, and this church has had a couple of promises of new seasons. I'm going to tell you, it is here. I want to encourage you, your worship songs, and BJ, you guys were amazing this morning, but I want to encourage you to start singing those Foss songs. And when Mike comes up and says, do you have a Foss song? You say, we got 30 of them, Mike. 40 of them, maybe. And we can sing all of them. But I believe this needs to be a dance in God's people. And those three things that I've just shared with you, if you feel right now that you can witness with it, some of you need to probably process it. But if you witness with it, I'm going to ask you to stand up because I want to declare it over this house. If the three were, God's going to be evident supernaturally in a tangible way. And if you're not in this house and you feel it applies to you, you also stand. Because God speaks to his house everywhere. And if you continue, that prosperity, goodness, favor, and the grace, the supernatural of God will be seen and felt. And then no weapon formed against you. Father, I declare, I'm not even asking you, because we asked for many things that you've already said is going to happen. So I declare in the name of Jesus that you're a good, good father, that you're a great, great father, and that you only give good gifts to your children. If an earthly father knows how to give good gifts, how much more our heavenly father? And you have declared goodness over this house. You've declared no weapon that's formed against it, formed against people, will stand. Father, I declare today that Jesus is Lord in this house. And there is no other agenda but Jesus in this house. We declare your goodness this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus. We're not even addressing the enemy because this fight belongs to you, Father. This fight belongs to you. And all you're asking us is to say yes and amen. Because your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you could be seated. So Jesus is a dependable one. But yet when there's new things, we fight new giants. There's new giants that come. And when we fight new giants, it is at that point that we need someone dependable and something dependable. And we have him. We have Jesus. The faithfulness of God can be seen with David and Goliath. And the thing that I enjoy about David and Goliath is David realized that worldly ways, that being somebody God never intended him to be, that working under someone else's anointing and not his own, was not going to bring him success. The only thing that David knew was going to bring him success was his dependence upon God. David was convinced that the Lord was dependable. David said, "The Lord delivered me from the claws of the lion and the bear, and the Lord will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." When you understand that David was a small man like me, Goliath was a big chap. But not only was Goliath big, Goliath also had an armor bearer. You see, we always give the pictures of just Goliath, but actually he also had an armor bearer, and the armor bearer's job was to stop all the spears coming into Goliath. So David not only had to face Goliath, he also had to face Goliath with his armor bearer. With Jesus, the head of all giants has to come down to me and you as Christians. David knew that God was dependable. With 5 stones and a sling, David went into the battlefield and he said this, "You," oh, I think he must have looked up there, "You, come to me with a sword, with a spear, a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God most almighty." When we face struggles, who do we come in and which name do we go in? You see, Jesus is dependable, and that's the name that we come in and fight the enemy. It was not David's fighting abilities that got him the victory. It was his faith in the dependable one who was all powerful, all strong, that got him the victory that day. His Father is saying to us today, "I will never leave nor forsake you." It didn't come through the worship and the prophetic words that came. Come to me, all who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. I feel God saying, I will not let you face the giants alone. By yourself, you will not conquer, but I am with you. I am Christ, the hope of glory in you. And God says, I will be the dependable one, but I need you to fight the right battles. The battles I will tell you to fight, but the rest, the battle belongs to me. You see, we fight flesh and blood many times. And God says, we're not to fight flesh and blood, we're to fight principalities and powers. We're to love one another and fight the principalities and powers. God is dependable. But he's saying, choose your battles wisely. Because if we choose them according to the will of God, he puts the right weapons in our hands and we cause no harm. And we bring through a wonderful, wonderful people. God is the dependable one who is with you. He said, Emmanuel, God with you. And then God is among us. John 1 says the word dwells among us. The word Jesus is among us. He's among us yet today. I felt he's present, and I'm sure you have as well. And then God is in us by the Holy Spirit. God with us, God among us, God in us, and he's dependable. And you know what, friends? You've heard me say this before, but the devil has got no arms and feet. Because he's been disarmed and defeated by the cross. Why give him any glory when he's been defeated? When Christ is with us and Christ accompanies us and Christ is with us continuously. The second one I want to chat about is Jesus is the one who is able to help. You see, the dependable one is completely capable of helping you and me, no matter what the circumstances we may find ourselves in, whether difficult or if he simply wants to bless us. He is able to help us. I particularly have needed Jesus in the last while, because just before coming to Canada, I developed a growth in my tongue and it's malignant. And then I had to go to Australia. And I said, God, I'm going with a malignant tongue, with a lump in my tongue. That's yucky. You're not allowed to use that word, yeah? Oh, yeah, okay. Is it? I'm just scared of using words, yeah, because some of the words I use are swear words. But I can say crappy, yeah? In South Africa, you can't. It'll be a swear word in South Africa. So I can say it, yeah? And last Wednesday, I was supposed to go to hospital. But I honestly want to say that this little lump has got smaller and smaller, that I can actually speak reasonably clearly today. And I'm praying that by the time I get to South Africa, it is gone. I'm trusting God for it, you know. So what I'm sharing today, I've had to discover in the last 2 or 3 months that Jesus is dependable. And even coming across here, you know, to do officiate at the memorial service, and the big C word, the cancer word, was there. I had to face some giants, but I want to tell you, Jesus is the dependable one. That I'm here, and I'm going to be healed by the time we get home, because he's dependable. Amen. Don't feel sorry for me. Jesus has got me. Philippians 4 verse 19 says this, and God will meet all your needs in Christ Jesus according to his glorious riches. When Jesus was on earth, he was led by the Holy Spirit, doing only what his Father had told him to do. He preached and he performed miracles. The lame walked, the blind could see, the deaf could hear, the dumb could speak. Jesus cast out demons, healed the cripple, and helped those with issues of blood. He encouraged and he counseled the brokenhearted. Jesus was everything anybody needed him to be. Jesus provided what was needed in the natural. He fed the 4,000 and he fed the 5,000. He sent money to Peter through a fish's mouth. Jesus can meet our needs. We need to trust him as a dependable one. Jesus is still Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides when we go to the mountain of the Lord and we speak to him. Jesus turned water into wine to reveal Father's generous heart. They did not need more wine. So I believe God doesn't only meet our needs, he also gives us our wants, but he can't say no to our wants sometimes because he's a good, good father. I unashamedly will approach the throne room of grace and ask for anything very big. Unashamedly. He's my dad. He's my dad. My son does that to me. My sons do that to me. Why can't we do that to our dad in heaven? We have not because we ask not. And he wants, it's not this prosperity message. It's not this, this some of the false stuff that's going out there. It's actually, we believe our God is good. And no, he's also a good answer. And we to approach this dependable one, our God. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, and today, and forevermore. Jesus did things then. He still does them today. Jesus did it for them then. He still does it for us today. Jesus is able to meet our needs and grant some of our wants because Jesus is dependable. Then let me go on to the third point. Jesus, the one who's able to help because he knows you and he loves you. I'm going to read from Psalm 139, verse 1 to 8, and then I'll pick up on verse 13 and 23 and 24. The Word of God says this, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar," which is awkward sometimes because our thoughts can go all over the place, can't it? Only in South Africa, not in Canada. You guys are so pure. Ish. "You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." And yet, he still loves us through it, doesn't he? "You hem me in behind and before you. Lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Isn't that wonderful? Jesus was there when you and me were born, and he's still with us yet today in Terrace. "Only thing you must do for me is bring some snow on Wednesday or Thursday this week. I haven't seen snow before. Falling from the sky, it'll be a nice little gesture from God if he does it. For you, probably not, because you've got to then work. For me, it'll be cool. So let's see who's his favorite this week, right?" He doesn't have favorites, eh? But I think he'll be I'll be his favorite this week. Thank you. He loves me more this week because he's going to send snow. So for us to embrace Jesus and embrace the fact that Jesus helps us, we need to understand he knows everything about us, good, bad, and ugly, but yet he still loves us. And he still cares for us. As we seated here today, our past, present, and future is in very good hands, because it's in the hands of a dependable one called Jesus. The Lord understands you better than you understand yourself. Why? He knows you. He knows your situation and circumstance better than you do, because He knows how to help you. The Lord knows what you're going through, what you're thinking, and what you're feeling, and He still cares and He loves you. Jesus is the expert at being able to bring freedom and breakthrough to any circumstance we may find ourselves in. The cross is a completed work, and when we trust in the cross and we walk past the cross into the resurrection of our Lord, breakthrough comes. But we got to see Jesus is a dependable one. He wants to help. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." What an incredible privilege to know this amazing Father, and to know that He knows you and He knows me. He knows everything about you. Some of you are cringing now because He knows everything. I'm being nice. He knows how to help you, even if you are cringing right now. He knows how to help you. And He wants you to want His help. That's a problem that we don't always understand. God doesn't automatically move according to our need. He moves according to our faith in the dependable one. And He wants us to have faith in Him. And He wants us to want His help. And He wants us to reach out to Him and say, "Help me, God. This habitual sin, this thing I'm caught up, Lord, help me. Break through. Set me free from it." But He wants us to reach out to Him, the dependable one. Matthew 6 verse 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added unto you." You see, when we seek the kingdom, freedom, and breakthrough, and all of heaven's resources becomes ours. We just got to reach out and want His help. Jesus could see that the blind man was blind when He walked past him, because people mocked Him and people walked a journey around the blind man, and they even put a coat on the blind man to tell that he's been afflicted. But Jesus looked at him and He said, "What do you want?" And the man said, "I want my sight." You see, Jesus, I believe, He's saying to us today, "What do you want?" And He's asking us to reach out to Him. Reach out to Jesus today with whatever you need. Speak to Him. He is the help you can depend on, because He loves you. And then lastly, the privilege of making Him known. And you have forgotten something. I thought I was one of the elders and the people in this church, but you forgot something. Because when a pastor said it's his last point, you should sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus," he's going to come to an end. This is my last point, friends. Yeah. Last point. Thanks, buddy. It's the privilege of making Jesus known to others. You know what evangelism is, or simply means? Very simplistic definition. It's introducing people to Jesus. That's all it is. It's introducing people to Jesus. When the apostles, or when the people were first called Christians, remember they were believers? Then in Acts chapter 11 and verse 22, in Antioch, the believers were first called Christians. And the reason they were first called Christians is because every believer was sharing the gospel, and when they were getting saved. Let me tell you, when the stars are out, the sun doesn't shine. But when Jesus shined, there's no stars. You see, they were first called Christians because every believer, when the scattering came in Acts chapter 8, they were scattered all over. And every believer started making Jesus known, and many were saved. And they were called Christians first. The second reason they were called Christians is because they operated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of healing, all that God's got for the body. They were operating in their gifting as believers. And therefore, they were representing Christ, Christian, little Christ. They were representing and reproducing and just honoring Christ. And they were called Christians. Third reason they were called Christians, they were Christ-like in their conduct and in their hearts. They were Christ-like. And the fourth reason they were called Christians is they were manifesting the resurrection power of Jesus because God was with them and many were being healed and set free. Are we Christians that depend on the dependable one today? Are we making this Christ known? Or are you leaving it to the superheroes like Kenny LaRue from South Africa and Mark Rosino from Terrace, and then the biggest pope of them all, and I'm not mocking the most probably the biggest hero is Tim Weeb. Are you leaving it to us? And then again, my senior pastor Francis. Or is every single believer getting out there and representing this king and being dependable upon our God? You see, if we all get a kingdom mindset, this building's too small. But if we leave it to the superheroes, it is not going to happen, friends. We got to make Jesus known, and every single believer has the privilege of making Jesus known because we know he's dependable. And we also know that he can be dependable to our society and our community. We have got the answer for everything regarding life and godliness because we have a testimony of depending on Jesus. We have the solution of all solutions, and his name is Jesus. We know someone that the world needs to know about, and that person is Jesus. And we as Christians, not only believers, but as Christians, have the privilege to show and tell people about Jesus. We need to live Jesus amongst each other. Because by this will the world know that you are my disciples, by the love you have one for another. We need to extend grace. We need to forgive quickly. We should never hold grudges. And we should get over ourselves with pettiness. And we should get over ourselves with getting offended. Because offense is only offense if you take it. If you don't take offense, it's not, you don't have to. I will never get offended. I mean, Francis gives me such a hard time as a senior pastor. I will not get offended. And I'm testing him now whether he's going to get offended. See, offense is only offense if you take it. Refuse to take it. It's in the Bible. I've got a whole sermon on that. It's called scandalon. It's like a little bird coming to eat something and you catch it. or a rat or a mice in your house. Put a little bit of cheese in it and you catch it. Don't let offense catch you. And if it has, can I be friendly South African? Get over yourself. Be done with the offense and get on with life. Amen. That's how we kind like that in South Africa. We show a lot of love and care and grace and mercy and... Ask Ruth. She knows. I mean, BJ's Ruth. That Ruth loves it. Is that right? Don't get offended. Why am I sticking on that? I'm like a record player that's got stuck. Shall I move on? You know, friends, and I can call you friends, because I love this church, and I love Terrace as well. Words can never fully depict the incredible love Father has for us. If the world is ever going to experience Jesus, they need to hear it from our mouths, but they need to see it in our actions. Showing and tell people about Jesus is going to take sacrifice. It's going to mean getting out of your comfort zones. It'll mean spending time with somebody that you're not comfortable with. It could mean feeding the hungry, visiting the sick, reaching out to Christians and to your community, and especially those who are hurting. It could mean loving somebody that hates Christians. The problem is that many people have Jesus locked up in their hearts, and they never let their light shine through them, the light and the love of Jesus. Jesus needs to be more than a Sunday morning experience. We need to live him 24/7. You need to let your light shine as a husband, as a wife, as parents, in the workplace, wherever we are, we need to shine Jesus. Don't keep him locked up inside. There's many people that need Jesus out there. I want you to know that you can get Jesus out of your heart today to a place that people can see Jesus through you and in you. We say we have a great message. We say we have a great hope. We say we have someone that the world needs. Let's not only say it, let's go show it to a world out there. Jesus is the dependable one. Jesus is the one who's able to help. Jesus is the one who's able to help because he knows you and he loves you. It is our privilege to make this King known all over the world. I wonder if you want to, if you feel right, I just want to honor this King. I just want to honor him, that I can be dependable upon him, going through some stuff which he's taken care of already. So don't pray for me. Well, pray for me, it'd be cool. But you focus on the dependable one today. There's some visitors here that I don't know. But if there's anybody here today that just wants to commit your life to Jesus, won't you come speak to us afterwards? And I don't like bringing people up front always because it's personal. So if that's you, and you want to come chat to me or to Mark or to Tim, won't you come chat and say, I want this dependable one. I've run away from God for too long, but I want this dependable one. Can you do that? And then I want to ask, if we this morning, if you just know that the dependable one seems to be far from you, and you just want to touch from the dependable one, Jesus, won't you stand, and I'm going to pray and then hand over to Mike. If you stand right there where you are, not necessarily come forward, just say, God, I want to depend upon you. God, I want you, Jesus, to be the dependable one in my life. I don't want to hide anymore. I want you to come and touch me today. So I'm going to just go behind you, and I want you to stand if you want Jesus. Just a touch from heaven this morning, just where you are, that you stand and say, yes, Lord, come touch me this morning. Come touch me this morning. He is dependable. He's able to help. And he's able to help because he knows you and he doesn't frown on you. You know, I think sometimes we think our sin disqualifies us from Jesus. It doesn't. We run to him with our sin. We really do. We don't run from him. We run to him. And his grace is sufficient. So, Father, I come this morning, and I thank you for the word simple. The simplicity of the gospel is Jesus is alive. Yes, he's seated at the right hand. And the right hand in the economy of God means authority. That you, Jesus, have all authority in heaven and on earth. You've got authority over our marriage. You've got authority over the schemes of the enemy. You are so, so powerful. And thank you for the simplicity of that you dependable. And thank you that we too, even if the lions and the bears and the wolves come, we're not scared. we're not afraid because the dependable one is actually standing in front or between us and them, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. So again this morning, Father, bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you. I pray where finances is needed, Lord, where somebody is standing here this morning because of the need of finance, I pray that you will release heaven's resources upon them. Where there's sickness, me included, we stand in front of the dependable one. We say, have your way, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. And if it's earthly healing, let it come. But if it's going to be with you, let it also come. Whatever your will is, Father. And then, Father, I pray, with the relationship of the presence of God, the sweet aroma of a king, seems to have got a bit sour or dark, or there's clouds. I ask that those clouds be removed and an open heaven will be once again our portion. Thank you for being dependable, Jesus. Thank you for being the one we can depend on. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
I know that as Kenny is sharing a word like this, there are some of you who are in this room who are saying, okay, well, that's great, but what about Leah? I know that's going through some of your mind. And I want you to know that every word that Kenny preached, I don't believe. I mean, he took things right out of the scripture. I believe them because they're in the scripture. But I believe them because I've spent an entire lifetime of watching God perform miracles. Things that could not happen any other way but by supernatural divine intervention. My life, physically, has been saved numerous times in situations that the only way you can explain it is supernatural acts of God. And I want you to know, for me, and I believe for Tim and for our family, our faith is greater today than it ever has been. And, you know, we don't always know why God does what he does with someone like Leah. Well, I know some of the reasons why. Because I don't believe any of the things that have happened, the miracles that have happened in hundreds and thousands of lives would have happened had she not got leukemia, or had she got leukemia and God healed her the first day. There are thousands of people who've been touched. There are thousands of people all over this province who are now seekers of God. Because my daughter Leah went through what she went through. And I want you to know that even though God chose to finish this thing with Leah his way, and Leah belonged to him, she's always been his child, and she committed her life to him and said, you know, thy will be done, you know, from the day she was a young child. But this moment today, I can pray for any person in this room to be healed and have faith. You see? Because what doesn't change is Jesus. And as for us in this church, we fully expect God to move the way he moves. Now, the truth is, every single person in this room is going to die. I'm sorry to say that, but you're all headed for that. Unless Jesus Christ decides he's coming back sooner, we're all going there. And some of us sooner, some of us later. So all kinds of different ways. You know, we don't know the ways that we go. But this thing we do know. Our God is good. Our God is great. And he performs his word. And so when I stood over Leah, you know, on her last moments before she was passing away, I stood at the end of her bed and I raised my hands to my Father. I said, Father, this is nothing for you. Speak a word. You know, I spoke that all the way along. And it's true. Nothing for him. But for his own reasons that we don't always understand, you know, he let my daughter, he said, you know, he took her into his own hands. And that's going to happen to some of us. You see, but I trusted Jesus before. And I trust Jesus after. See? And so as a church, you don't hesitate. You don't slow down. You don't get sidetracked. You don't let the enemy waylay you, you know, and throw a bunch of questions in your heart that are contrary to the word. And because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll be performing miracles right to the day he returns. And many of those miracles come in the forms of salvations. You prayed for Leah's physical healing, and God had thousands of healings in mind that he performed in lives all over, maybe even all over the world. And another thing that happened is our church and us as a family and our community has relationships with non-Christians all over this city and all over this province that we never had before, that are all for the purposes of the kingdom. So I want to say to you today, as a dad of a daughter who passed away 2 weeks ago, Jesus is good, and he does all things well. Go stand with him. Okay.
I just want to say I'm excited for the testimonies that you guys are going to have out of this thing. When my brother passed away, many of you guys were here for that celebration, which was about 14 years ago now, believe it or not. And at his celebration, Mike Graves from Nanaimo came with me here to Terrace for that celebration. And that's where a relationship with Mike and Mike was developed from that thing. And out of that, this connection to NCMI was birthed, and that's why Kenny's here today. That's why all these guys, that's why these connections. So to look back 14 years later and see the things that were birthed out of something that in that moment was so difficult, to look back and see the fruit that's come from that, the relationships, the salvations, the international connections, and Mike ministering into churches that he never would have been connected to had that relationship not happened that day. And so it's hard, you know, a week after, 2 weeks after someone passes, but I'm telling you, the testimonies that you'll be speaking of 10 years from now, very exciting. So yeah, and it's painful, but it's powerful, and it's awesome.
So I want to give you, I'll let Bruce speak, but I want to give you the scripture that God gave to me, and crystal clear. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. That's my daughter Leah.
I just wanted to say, when we first announced to the public when Leah was diagnosed, Christy went to the park where they were having a worship celebration, and our friend Carmen, the very first word that came out of her mouth was Leah was going to be a sign and a wonder. And of course all of us, we believed, oh, that sign and wonder was going to be her healing. But I really believe that sign and the wonder is going to be hard hearts changed by the power of Jesus. I really believe that. Already I've had people come to me who are so far from God, so against him, so hardened and broken, and they've come to me and they've said, just reading Leah's words, that in the hardest time of her life, she's clinging to the promise of God. Like, how can she do that? But those stories, and as we continue to tell those things, that's going to be the sign and the wonder. The sign and the wonder is going to be, how could this hard heart soften? But it's the power of Jesus through Leah's life. But just like Beach said, the testimony over and over again of who God was to her, what he did in the circumstance, how he provided, the miracles that he did, that's going to soften the hearts. And as we just continue to proclaim who Jesus was and who he is, you know, he didn't change. He didn't decide to fall asleep in his care for her, but he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's who people need. They need that Jesus. And we have that responsibility now. You know, as we Dad talked about last Sunday about how all eyes were on Leah through this circumstance. But now that she's gone, all eyes are on us. And it's our responsibility to be good stewards of what he's given us. He's given us something. He's given us life, but it's not for us. And just how Kenny said, it's to ask God to take Jesus out of our hearts to give to other people. And that's our responsibility now. And it's sombering, but it's exciting. Because there's people that are lost that are going to be found.
Amen. So one last thing, and then we can go. I really want to encourage you. When the disciples were with Jesus and they experienced all the things that they experienced, his mandate to them, after he was risen from the dead, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And you know, that may sound like an academic thing, but it's not really. It's I get to share what God is inside of me. I get to share the reality of who Christ is. And we've experienced it, guys. All of us have. And everywhere you go, there's openness today just to radiate and love and to words of encouragement. And all around us, there are open hearts now that are ready to receive that. And so please represent Jesus well and love people in this community. And I believe God is going to bring a great harvest. He's been looking for lots of souls, and he stirred them.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.